In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. We continue our readings, as we've been doing throughout the Lenten season, from the letter to the Hebrews. We read this evening in chapter 9, beginning at verse 11. But when Christ came as high priest of the good things that are now already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not made with human hands, that is to say, is not a part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God? This is God's word. In the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, who died as our substitute on Calvary's cross, dearly loved by God. Good Friday is indeed a solemn occasion. God's own Lamb, he sacrificed on the altar of the cross to take away the world's wickedness and guilt. There was a similar ceremony in the Old Testament, one you've been hearing about over the past weeks, one that this evening would be appropriate to call the Old Testament Good Friday, and that is Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. On that day, Israel's high priest would take the blood of the sacrifice, and he would go behind the curtain and enter into the presence of God to make the atoning sacrifice for sin. So holy was the Day of Atonement that when the priest entered the most holy place in the Second Temple era, which is from 516 BC till the Romans destroyed the temple in 70 AD and the sacrifices ceased, that they, according to a Jewish website, tied a rope around the high priest's ankle so that if he were struck dead in there, they could just extract his body by pulling on that rope so that no one else would have to dare go in before the presence of God. And that put some solemnity on the occasion. It is with greater solemnity and yet with joy as we anticipate the outcome that we look at Jesus, our great high priest, tonight and see that he is better than any other high priest. And he's better than any other high priest because he enters the presence of God through a better sanctuary, a better tabernacle. He's a better high priest because he enters the presence of God not with animal blood, but with a better sacrifice, his own blood. And finally, we see that sacrifice of Jesus' blood leads us away from empty and heartless service to our Savior and leads us to better service, a service of true gratitude in response for the sacrifice that Jesus made. The writer to the Hebrews wrote, "When Christ came as high priest of the good things that are now already here." Remember, he's writing to Jewish Christians. The good things to come was the way that the Old Testament believers talked about the Messianic age when God fulfilled his promise and sent the Savior. That really became a buzzword, the good things that are to come became a buzzword for when God fulfilled his promise in the Christ. The writer to the Hebrews tells those believing Jewish Christians, those good things are already here. Those good things have come. And they've come in Jesus Christ. The Jesus Christ that you now trust in and worship as the promised Savior. Those good things that were to come, but were now there in Jesus, included all of the things surrounding the Old Testament priesthood. Its rituals, its rites, its sacrifices, its offerings, even the place where the Old Testament worship took place. First the tabernacle, and then later the temples. As we have learned and reviewed in the last few weeks, that once a year on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, the high priest, and only the high priest, would go behind the curtain into the most holy place. Remember, the temple had the holy place, the larger room where you went into the tabernacle. And then it had the most holy place, a smaller place, with the Ark of the Covenant, where God's presence was. And so the high priest, carrying the blood, in order to get to the presence of God, had to enter that earthly sanctuary, had to pass through that earthly tabernacle in order to get to the presence of God. And there he would push back the curtain, and with that blood, take that in there, that blood in there, and sprinkle it on the mercy seat. It is with that ritual in mind that the writer to the Hebrews talks about the work of Jesus, of being a greater high priest, because Jesus went through a better sanctuary in order to get into the presence of God, in order to enable us to get into the presence of God and to be in the presence of God. Jesus entered his most holy place, which was is the presence of God, by going through a sanctuary that's not part of creation. It is the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not made with human hands, that is to say, is not a part of this creation. He went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle. To help us understand that, we go back to the Gospel of John. Speaking of the Son of God in the person of Jesus, John said, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." The Greek word there for dwelt is the verbal form, the Greek verbal form of the Hebrew word for tent or tabernacle. We could very properly translate John's words this way. The Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. His body is the perfect tabernacle. His body that he offered on the cross is the greater and perfect tabernacle through which he entered the presence of God. By offering his body and his blood on the cross, he passed back through the cross back into the presence of his Father. Compared to the holy place of the earthly tabernacle through which the Old Testament high priest passed to enter the presence of God, Christ entered through the sanctuary of his physical body. A body, remember, that he took on himself so that he would be under the law to fulfill that law perfectly for us, so that he could, as God and man, suffer death, suffer and die, pay our penalty for sin. So he took that tabernacle onto himself and through it passed into the presence of God by the shedding of his blood. And so the author goes on and says, he did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. As you are all well aware, the Day of Atonement was an annual festival, which says quite a bit about its limitations. It had to be done over and over again, because in and of itself, it did not pay for anything. But it was that constant preparation for the coming of the one who would offer his blood, a better sacrifice, once for all. And you could understand that two ways. Once for all people, or once and for all time. Either way is true. You may be caught that the author here writes about a heifer, about the ashes of a heifer. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. So the high priest, so that he could go into the most holy place for just a short time, would take that blood of goats and a lamb. But then they would also sacrifice a heifer. And they would take that heifer and they would burn it along with some cedar wood and some hyssop and some scarlet thread. And when all of that turned to ashes, they mixed it with water. And then the high priest took that and sprinkled it over the people. And that made them ceremonially clean from having touched a dead body or anything else that made them unclean, so that they could come and worship and participate in the worship of their Lord. So, the blood of goats and bulls that was mixed with those other things and spread on the people made them only outwardly clean, ceremonially. And the blood that he took enabled him only temporarily to go into the presence of God. Jesus is our great high priest, who is better than any other high priest, because his blood cleanses us by giving us a clean conscience. A clean conscience by the removal of the guilt of our sins. Giving us a clean conscience through the forgiveness of all of our sins. The blood of Jesus Christ, our high priest, the blood of Jesus Christ that is ours, makes us truly clean in God's sight, washed though we were scarlet as white as snow, cleansed as with hyssop. Jesus Christ offered that better blood, and he only had to offer it once, because it is God's blood. It is a holy blood belonging to the sinless Son of God, as Luther says in his explanation to the second article. He has redeemed us, lost and condemned creatures, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death. When Jesus offered that better blood on the altar of the cross through the greater and more perfect tabernacle of his body, the fullness of God lived in him. And when he died, Jesus cried, "It is finished." He had obtained eternal redemption. Your eternal redemption and mine. There is nothing else we need to do or can do to offer to God so that we can come into his presence. We are covered with that blood of the perfect high priest. And not so that we can go there temporarily, but so we will be there eternally. And the writer goes on to conclude some very practical application of that better sacrifice that our Lord made, and that is so that we can offer better service to our God. He says, "How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God," and there we see the working of all three persons of the Trinity in our redemption, "cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God." So, the blood of Christ not only cleanses our consciences by removing our guilt, by forgiving our sins, but by also cleansing our consciences from acts that lead to death. More literally, we would say, from dead acts or from dead works. What are dead works? They're works that are only done outwardly, thoughtlessly, without really our heart and our mind and our soul being behind them. They're not fruits of faith and acts of love for Christ. What had happened with these wonderful rituals, these wonderful previews and foreshadows of the coming of Christ, was they turned into empty acts. Because the people began to think, well, God will be pleased with us if we just keep doing them over and over. We'll earn something from God by our doing these things. This is very much as, sadly, Jews believe today, as they so fruitlessly go through these Old Testament ceremonies like the Passover and the Day of Atonement. And they mean absolutely nothing because they've been emptied of all of their meaning, because they're emptied of Christ. They are truly works that lead to death. They are dead works because they're not offered in faith in Christ. Jesus put it this way, "These people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." And the writer to the Hebrews also reminds us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. The blood of Christ delivers us and gives us a clear conscience so that when we do acts of service to our God in faith, we know that God accepts those acts, that they are truly acts that are good works, and that say to our Savior, "Thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for taking my place." I saw an interesting thing just earlier today when somebody said that, you know, God is not presented in the Bible as a mother who says to her kids, "I'm going to slap you if you don't eat your peas." God is presented as our substitute. The heart of Christianity is substitution. that Jesus Christ took our place on the cross. And he passed through that better sanctuary, that better tabernacle, carrying as a sacrifice his better blood that has redeemed us and has given us new life. Not only eternal life in heaven, but a new life of better service to our God and to one another. It means living for God and serving him day to day, wherever we are, in whatever we are occupied, as a response to his service. Tonight, once again on this Good Friday, as we see our Lord Jesus there, hanging on that cross, suffering and dying, fulfilling the scripture, being forsaken by his God, and yet in the end, after it was finished, committing himself in trust into the hands of his Lord for eternal life, just as we Christians can do at the end of ours. That sacrifice leads us to the kind of Christian life and service that about which we sing in hymn 387. To pledge my labor willingly, which shall so sweet a service be, that angels well might envy me, Christ crucified, I come. Amen.